Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. We'll be looking at a verse here as we get into our study. And, of course, talking about the will of God and in also in relation to this past week. Hopefully you found the time to give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. And the Lord certainly wants us to be grateful. He certainly wants us to not just praise Him and thank Him around this time of year, but have a habit and a lifestyle of giving thanks to the Lord. And you know, when thanks is at the forefront of your mind, you know, it changes your attitude. It really does. It protects you from being negative. You know, some people are more negative than others. Some people are more skeptical than others. Some people see the glass half empty. Look at it, they say, hey, it's empty, right? It's half empty. While other people prefer to say, hey, no, that glass is half full. So we all bring different perspectives, but having a heart of thankfulness and a mindset of giving thanks continually, a lifestyle of thanks, guards us from negativity and a pessimistic mindset. You're in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at a verse here in just a second. Want to just briefly recap what we talked about last week. If you weren't here last week, we were looking at the fifth part, fifth aspect of determining God's specific will for our lives. And before you look at your notes, go ahead and close your notes. Close your notebooks just for a second, okay? And this is really, you say, why have we taken so much time for this? Because this is a process, a model that you are going to repeat every year of your life. That's why I think the last time we went over this was 3 years ago. And, you know, 3 years ago, some of you weren't even in the youth group, okay? 3 years ago, some of you were in the youth group, but we're still trying to figure out what high school was like and not really thinking about future things, whereas now, you're junior, senior, you're thinking, man, I got some pretty big decisions coming up. So that's why this topic is so important, because as you get older, as you grow, this topic should become more important to you. You should be concerned and wanting to know what God is your will for my life. But we've gone over five things so far. Okay, five things. We're looking at the final thing today. But the five things in relation to, Lord, is this your will? Seeking His specific will about something in particular. Okay, and we want to consider these five areas that we've gone over. And somebody help me. All right, give me one of those five areas. Okay, and I want you to think. Okay, so many times we hear, but we don't think, and we don't seek to understand. I want you to do that this morning. Okay, so if I was just to point to you and say, Andrew, tell me the five things, or Jamie, tell me the five things. Okay, I'm not going to do that because I can't even. No, I'm just kidding. But what's important is that you're considering these things. So activate your brain a little bit, make it work. Okay. And just give me one thing. Somebody give me one thing, one area. Yes. Godly counsel. Yeah. Okay. I think that was number two in the order that we looked at. Okay. We don't necessarily have to go in order, but godly counsel. Yes. Consider that. You say, hey, I'm going to this place or I'm going to do this thing. Great. Go down the checklist of God's will. Make sure that you check in with godly counsel. That's good. Yes.
Prayer.
Prayer. Yes. Absolutely. Take that thing, whatever it is, and go to Him in prayer. Never feel like you have to be put on the spot to make a moment decision and big decisions. Sometimes we feel like, especially when we go into making big purchases and we find a good deal, you know, my inkling is to go, yes, I'll take three of them, okay? You know, but that's not necessarily a good thing. Prayer, that's where prayer is so important. God answers prayer. And especially when we call out to Him, He will answer us accordingly. So, godly counsel, prayer, what's something else? Yes, Andrew? Yes, yeah, the Word of God. Okay, Lord, here's the thing I'm struggling with, Lord. Here's the decision that has to be made. How are You going to speak to me as I look in Your Word today in my quiet time about that instance? And Lord, I'm open to that. So you read the Bible and you figure that out. Okay, so those are three things. Give me a couple other things. Yes. Circumstances. Yes, God uses our circumstances to direct our lives. Okay, he does that in a variety of ways. We talked about how he uses chastening circumstantially. You know, when things are happening and we feel like we're, wow, Lord, are you trying to get our attention? Many times he is. He uses circumstances to many times get our attention or even direct us into something further. That opportunity that is brought to you that you say, wow, where did this come from? And Lord, what would you have me to do with it? Many times the Lord leads through those circumstances that come across our plate. Okay, so let's see. We've got circumstances. And number five. What's number five? We've got counsel. We've got the Bible. We've got circumstances. We've got, what's another one that said? Prayer. What would be the fifth one? Dig deep. All right, somebody look at your notes. Somebody look. Yes, ma'am. Yes, right. So this is what we talked about last week, okay? Desires. How does God use desires that we have, and can he use those things to lead us into his will? And the answer is yes. We talked about that last week. What is when we consider the desires of our heart, what is the factor that we must consider in regards to that, or the warning that we must heed in relation to the desires that maybe we have and maybe how the Lord could use those? Yes. Right. Make sure those desires are good desires. Make sure they line up with God's word, number one, and with, number two, with God's will. And you use the other ways to determine God's will to sort of bring that about. We looked at a verse. We looked at delight thyself also in the Lord. Does anybody remember what the word delight there means? What did we talk about the word delight having the idea of? Anybody remember? I'll give you a hint. We talked about Plato. Not the philosopher. All right. Yes, Ethan? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The root word of that word delight has the idea of being impressionable, being moldable, being pliable. In other words, you're saying, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. Whatever you want, I will do. And many times the Lord then allows us to have desires of our heart in many cases. Okay. Can you think of an instance in Scripture where someone desired something, but the Lord didn't allow it? Can you think of an instance in Scripture where we have documentation that someone, a believer, wanted something, had a desire, and the Lord didn't allow that? Lexi? Okay. Yep. Very good. Yes, Allison? Okay, yeah, that's an excellent one. Yeah, David, in fact, that's a really interesting one because David has this really strong desire to build a temple for the Lord, which, is that a good thing? That's a great thing. Okay, if you came to me and said, Brother Scott, I want to build us a new youth room, okay, I would say, yes, absolutely, okay. Now, I'd want to see your plans first, make sure they're going to work. But anyway, I think that's a great, fantastic desire, okay? That's not in and of itself a bad thing. In fact, Nathan the prophet says, hey, David, you got it. Go do it. And then Nathan walks out. The Lord speaks to Nathan, and God says, go back and tell him it can't happen. And wow, talk about being surprised. I imagine David was very surprised when he got that answer. But it wasn't what God wanted. Yes? Yeah, absolutely. He asked of the Lord, hey, we're going to go do this, but the Holy Spirit prevented them from going that way. And as a result, the Lord had a better opportunity for him. Something else, Ethan?
Hannah wanting children,
okay. Anybody else? Micah? Thorn in the flesh, yeah. And he asked how many times? Three times? Yeah, yeah, Lord, Lord, please, 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 please. Right? And hey, we would all look at that and we would say, well, Lord, you know, I mean, if he's going to be most effective in the ministry, I mean, please take away this thorn in the flesh. He'll have the freedom to whatever. But that's not the way the Lord saw it. It wasn't his will. And so we do have these times in which you and I have a desire, but just because we have that desire doesn't mean that it's God's will for us. For David, who had that great desire, it wasn't God's will for him, but rather for his son, Solomon. And it was neat to see how the Lord worked that way. So, but many times the Lord does use those desires that we have. But the key is we have to prove those desires. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you're there. Notice with me quickly. Let's see here. Let's see, verse 21. Just a simple verse here. Verse 21 says to prove all things. And this is a great thing to do because all of our desires need to be proved by God. All right, now let me give you quickly here the final thing, and just take a couple of minutes to develop it. All right, number six. What does God use? What means does He use to reveal His will to us in specific areas? And that is this: that God gives peace. God gives us peace. After you write that down, go to Philippians, book of Philippians. Look with me, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. All right, look at now verses 6 and 7 here. Okay, we're talking about knowing God's will, and how does peace factor in for the Christian? Notice verse 6 and 7, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You're requesting something of the Lord, you're going to Him, you're asking Him, "Lord, what is your will?" And what happens as the Lord begins to work and answer that prayer? He says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice another verse, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, just a page over. Colossians chapter 3, and notice here verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." Okay. All right. So here you have this factor, okay, that is important, okay, and that factors into the process of knowing the Lord's will. Okay. When you seek the Lord's will about something in particular, many times, after the decision is made, or the way the Lord confirms that decision many times, is through this avenue of peace. Now, somebody tell me, what is peace? Okay, some of you that have food on the brain are thinking about that piece of pie that you had. Okay, we're not talking about that. What is peace? Yes. Okay, all right, good. This is one of those things that you could put it several different ways. Anybody else want to take a stab at a thought of peace? Andrew?
Like not having any worries or like any stress, like just being kind of free from everything.
Okay, all right. Ethan? Okay. All right, so when you look at peace, and this is a really interesting study in the Word of God, but peace has the idea of completion in the Bible. And, you know, some people may look at and say, well, peace is the absence of conflict. Okay, but really, and maybe in our modern day vernacular, Yeah, maybe. Okay, you know, what are the two options in your modern vernacular? You've got war and peace, right? But really, biblical peace goes beyond that. It's not just the absence of conflict in your life, but it's rather a completion. Okay, you know, if you consider a piece of a pie, okay, in general, and you take out a slice, there's something missing there, right? And we could say that it's unresolved. Okay, you feel unresolved. Okay, there's an aspect of your life. Maybe it's a decision that needs to be made. Maybe it's something, a trial that you're going through. That in your heart of hearts, you feel that there's a peace that is missing, that is unresolved. Okay, well, being complete, being at peace in the Lord has the idea of the Lord filling that void in your heart and life. Okay, He completes you. Okay, now understand this. You can be at peace even though you may be under great physical strain. You can be at peace even though you're going through a difficult situation. There's a lot of great missionary biographies that have been written of people who have endured great hardship, and yet they would say, boy, the Lord has been my peace. Okay, so understand this, that peace is something that brings the believer, you and I, to a completion point that the Lord fills our heart with. Okay, now how does this fit in regards to seeking and knowing the will of God? Well, as I seek the Lord about things, and I'm doing these five other things, and as I'm moving towards a decision point and seeing all the other factors and the direction they're pointing, the Lord begins to provide that peace in my heart that the direction that I'm going is the right direction. I can think of numerous times when the Lord has done this. You know, sometimes it's after a decision has been made that the Lord brings peace. Many times it's before, though, but it's something the Lord always gives. Before I proposed to my wife, I had peace about it. I would not have proposed to her if I didn't. You know, oh, this is a step of faith. I don't know. You know, okay. No, it wasn't going to be that way. Okay, there's certain things that I need to have some resolve between me and God in order to go forward with confidence. Okay, when I went to college, I had whittled it down. I talked to my parents and I looked at both programs, and it was really difficult. I was sort of going back and forth between two colleges, and I made my decision. But I'll tell you, it wasn't after probably the first or second week that really the Lord brought peace to my heart about where I was at. But I've seen that's the way the Lord many times works. Sometimes He grants you that peace in the beginning, and then maybe as you get into that decision and follow it through, then the Lord begins to give you peace. But you know what? When that peace does not come, you know, Colossians 3 talks about the peace of God ruling your hearts and mind. The Holy Spirit has so much to do with that peace. You know, the times that I'm not at peace in my life is the times that I'm not doing right. And why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is talking to me. He's pointing me in the direction of, hey, Scott, you know back here, that wasn't the right attitude. Hey, you know back here, that thought wasn't right. And what is He doing? He's pointing me to a decision. I don't have the peace of God at that point. Now, He's pointing me towards peace, and if I'm obedient, I'll get there. But in reality, the Holy Spirit has a lot to do with this factor. You know, I've made some decisions before that were the wrong decisions. And one of the reasons I knew that is because, well, I never felt at ease about the decision. The peace of God didn't necessarily come in that instance, and the Lord taught me through that. But I'll tell you, large, big decisions, boy, that peace is something that I crave. That peace is something that I want to have, and I've seen the Lord give so many times. I could tell you some really hard decisions that we have had to make as a family. Just some hard decisions. Decisions where we knew if we made them, there were going to be some difficult conversations that were going to be had. You know, and sometimes you and I stray away from conflict. We say, well, I don't want to go that way because of how difficult that would be. But in reality, when the Lord has his hand on something and is in something, he's going to give you the grace. He's going to give you the peace to go through that, whatever it may be. So peace is a factor. But I will warn you this, as I have with every other point, don't look at peace as the isolated factor to the story. I've seen this so many times. Somebody comes to me, they say, I'm thinking about doing this. I say, okay, how do you know that's what God wants you to do? And the first words out of their mouth is this, I have peace about it. Okay, now, the problem with that is, if you're solely relying on a feeling in and of yourself, it's not enough. You say, why is that? Well, because God's given us five other areas that we need to seek him. Okay? And then also a warning in regards to that is sometimes feelings can be deceiving. And I think there is a difference between your feeling, your emotion, and something that the Lord produces in your life, such as peace. I think there is a distinction there in Scripture. I think there's a difference. So you say, Brother Scott, what's the sixth thing? Well, it's the fact that God gives peace. And that's a wonderful thing. There's no substitute for it. It's something that touches, as the Bible says, your heart and your mind, and it brings a settledness there, and it's a wonderful gift the Lord gives us when we consider his will and seek to follow it. Next week, we'll finish the series with just some closing comments, but I hope that you've enjoyed this, and furthermore, more than enjoying it, practice it. Okay? Practice it. Practice right now seeking the will of God and the specific steps, and I guarantee it, you can repeat that process over and over again, and God's going to give you his ultimate best, which is always better than our own. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, thank you for that peace, Father, that you bring to our lives when we're obedient to you. Thank you that we can have that confirmation, Lord, that we have done right and we've made good decisions. Lord, I pray for these teenagers who are before me, I pray, God, that you would fill their life, Lord, with peace. Give them a settledness in their heart and mind, Lord, that comes from you and Father, as a result of them doing what's right and keeping their eyes on you as you lead them. Lord, I pray that for myself. I pray, Father, that you would help me to walk in your ways and, Lord, to keep my eyes fixated upon your will. May that be the most important thing to me. We love you, Lord, and ask that you speak to our hearts in the morning service. We ask these things in your name. Amen.